Kia ora tātou katoa, nau mai, haere mai, ki tēnei hōtaka ko hau kāinga, whiti-whiti, te kaupapa nei, Māori wards, in the state of Māori wards in Taitokerau. My name is Kaimari Dunn, and I'm very pleased to be joined this evening by Councillor Moko Tupinia, representing the Whānau District Council, and also Councillor Karina Joyce. Kōrua, nau mai, haere mai, welcome and thank you. Whilst we're here, would you both like to just give a bit of a shout out to your whānau, who you are, and something of interest that maybe our communities don't know about you, and I'll start with you, Moko.
Hey, kia ora mai, tēnā koe te tuahine, Kaimari, tēnā koutou katoa te whānau. I ko Moko Tepania tōku ingoa, first term elected councillor to the Whānau District representing Kaikoe Hokianga. Shout out to my whānau watching, but to everyone in the north and everyone around our motu watching this. Something random about me is that I taught myself how to speak Spanish. Yo puedo hablar español también. Hola.
Hola. That is so interesting. Kia ora. And tēnā koe, Karina, can you also please introduce yourself and tell us something random about you?
Random. I'm pretty random, all right. Kia ora whānau ko whakarongaroa tuku maunga ko o tukura tuku awa ko Ngāti Toro tuku hapi ko Ngā Pui tuku iwi. Nei, ko Karen Joyce, paki taku inga no kaihu ia. Something, I don't know, I live in a papakāinga with my brothers. We all put our money together and we figured it was a cheap way to live and get ahead. So if anyone's out there and they want to do papakāinga living, go for it. Kia ora.
Awesome. Kia ora. Hey, look, Māori wards is a critical issue that's affecting Taitokerau at the moment. And whilst we've been sharing this whakaaro about Māori wards and why it's important, we actually need to go back a step and explain what it is. So Moko, do you mind just telling us what is Māori wards and why do you think it's important?
Yeah, definitely. Namahi te tohine. Māori wards are a way that councils can give effect to Māori representation at the council table, and they came about after legislation put Māori constituencies for the Bay of Plenty Regional Council, and then other councils said, hey, what about us? So the local electoral act was changed to allow councils to establish Māori wards or constituencies, but it also allowed there to be a petition against the council's decision to do so. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But pretty much what they are is they're the local government equivalent of our Māori electorate, of our Māori seats in Parliament. So we've got our Māori seats in Parliament to give that effective Māori voice guaranteed to be in Parliament every time, with a mandate to speak on Māori kaupapa in our government and our Parliament. So this is another way that we can ensure that happens at a local government level at the same time.
Cool, thank you, Moko. And I guess it's important for us to understand what is the current state of play. So Karina, can you just give us an indication, if we know what Māori wards are, what we don't necessarily have right now fully, what is the current state of play as a local councillor? What is the system set up like right now?
Well, I suppose right now we don't have Māori wards. What we have is myself, who identifies as Māori, who gets voted in through the general process through a Dargaville ward, which is a makeup of, you know, a very diverse community here in Dargaville. So what I do is I have to try and stretch my whakaaro and thinking and across a whole raft of different communities. So what is, I suppose, beneficial for me is I'm the first Māori to be elected in 30 years or 33 years now to kaipara. So what that did was it sort of changed the landscape for them, and they thought, what is this Māori thing that's happening to us? What is this tikanga that's coming through the front door? Why does she think a little bit left to the rest of us? You know, so I'm a bit of a novelty in that space, but it's something that they really, my fellow councillors have really warmed to in the last 4 years. I'm really lucky.
Awesome. And Moko, I mean, it's quite hard, right? You know, how do you make local government sexy, especially to young people that are like, oh, who cares? And so my question to you is, like, why should we even care about, you know, local government? It costs heaps for rates. They don't, you know, they haven't filled up those pothole roads and mitty-mitty, et cetera. So why do you think our community should even care?
Yeah, well, our community needs to care because, like it or not, this is the system that we are set up with here in our country. We have a central government based out of Wellington, and we have local governments. And for us here in the far north, it's based out of Kaikohe here. For Kaipara, it's based out of Dargaville, and for Whangarei, it's based out of the city centre there. And our northern region is based out of Whangarei as well. And like it or not, through legislation, if you own a property, you will be rated. So you can't opt out of this. This isn't a system that you can opt out of if you're living here in Aotearoa. One of the important things that we do know, though, is that if you don't see a reflection of yourself in the organisation and in the body that's there, then you won't be able to connect with it very well at the same time. So one thing is that we know through studies is that councils around the country have always had low voter turnout. The voters that do turn out are older. We don't have young people who turn out to vote, and this is at central government elections or local government elections. But the statistics for Māori who turn out to vote, who actually engage in these systems and these processes, is even worse. And we know that that's because of colonisation, and our little kōrero here doesn't have enough time to talk about the 180 years since the signing of the Treaty in Waitangi and what that's meant for Māori people in our country. But one awesome thing that we do have in legislation and the system we're working with is that the Local Government Act says that we have to engage with, meaningfully engage with Māori in the decision-making of the council. And one of the ways that we can give effect to that is through the Local Electoral Act, which is a different piece of legislation which allows us to establish Māori wards. So me getting in on council, it allows people to engage who might be younger. They can see someone younger on the council. And Māori as well, who can see that I'm in council. For Karina, Māori can see that she's in council. And if you see a better reflection of yourself in that space, you're more likely to engage with it. And I'll give you a little example of why I became really proud when I made it onto council, was because I'm also a kaipue te kura kaupapa Māori o Kaikohe. And one of the coolest things that happened as a result of me putting my hand up for this is that our tamariki at kura, from 5 years through to 18 years old, came up to me and were all asking, they were all hungry to know, why my picture was around town? Why is your photo up over there? What are you doing? How do we vote for you? I'm going to tell my mum to vote for you. I want to have my picture up in town when I get older. And that made it all worth it. So I knew that, you know, if there was anything that I've gained out of becoming a councillor on this council, it's actually opening the eyes up to a space for not only our tamariki at kura, but our kaiaku at kura, who haven't engaged in the space. Council's just something off to the side over here you don't engage with, and they give you a bloody bill every now and again. But now, suddenly, we're starting to see those connections, and no doubt, Karina, you've experienced the same thing over in Kaipara too, Nee?
Yeah, great question. And I think, really important, Karina, what has your experience been as the first elected Māori on your council for the longest time?
I suppose to start with, it was quite complicated and complex because I walked into an environment I really was unfamiliar with. So I took a good part of a year trying to understand what is this thing that I've agreed to sign up to and why does it feel so foreign to me? So it was about really understanding their policy and figuring out how to make it reflective of exactly what Mook was talking about, reflective and empathetic or sympathetic to our body views or any of our community views. You know, have we got this right? So for me, I was always going, I don't know, because I think Māori might have a different opinion on what we're saying around the table. And, oh, why is that? And it's like, you know, we have different social issues, different social needs. So it was like, really, what was reflective around our council table is it was predominantly older white, non-Māori that were retired, had finished their big careers, were quite financially set. And then all of a sudden it was like I was bringing in our little pōhara voice about actually these things look very different in my world for my whānau. So I was able to share that stuff with them and make it very real and go, oh, heck, we hadn't thought of that. And they hadn't thought of that because they haven't actually, that's not their experience. So it was being able to, you know, say, yes, that's how some of the community is, but this is there is another side whānau and this is the reality for a lot of us. You know, we are very disconnected from council. Māori don't participate as much as they'd like to because they don't understand, other than paying the rates bill and the dog registration that comes, that's really the only contact they want unless something goes wrong. But it's like, here we go, here's the policy that really impacts us. There's these significant engagement policies. We're not necessarily engaging when we should, especially around sales of land, and you'll see that up in the Bay at the moment. You know, was it registered as a significant interest to a particular party? Well, I'm sure Māori would have said yes, but because you haven't got that Māori lens on it and it was happening prior to your time, Moko, things were decided without full consultation or consideration. So with us now sitting at the table, we get to say, hang on a minute, you know, I think you'll get some pushback from our whānau down there because they won't agree with it, and I'll tell you why. And then you can go ground truth that and ask them yourself. So that's my experience, is it's just bringing to the table that consider what the real need for us as Māori might be.
And so just asking you, Moko, just so that we can again provide some context to our whānau, is what's the kind of mandate that local government or local councils actually have? It's not just rates. You can do a whole stack of stuff. Give us a bit of a list of the things that councils can do within their power.
Kia ora. So local councils are governed by the Local Government Act. Within the Local Government Act right now, actually, it's given effect to wellbeing. So councils are actually mandated to provide for the wellbeing of the communities, cultural wellbeing, economic wellbeing, environmental wellbeing, and I think it's social wellbeing. So how we do that, though, is up to each individual council. We do collect rates. Rates is one of the forms of revenue that councils can use to provide services to their communities to give effect to the Local Government Act and the things it tells us that we need to do or should do. Government grants also bring that in, and subsidies. But everything from the road you drive on to the gutter next to it that catches the stormwater, to the water in your tap, to the wastewater when you flush the toilet, and how that's treated is all governed by local councils. Then there's other sides of things like pensioner housing or social housing that councils can also be in control of. It's community services like our service centres, like our halls throughout our district. Our district and our region are owned and run by councils. It's community funding. I love the fact that I'm also on the Kaikui Hokianga Community Board and the Far North Creative Communities. And so every meeting we're giving out funding to kaupapa in our community, knowing that, you know what, that wānanga for Harakeke is going to go ahead now because council have provided the funding to boost that kaupapa to get it off the ground. So there are a myriad of different kaupapa that councils are actually involved in, and when people pay their rates, it goes towards giving effect to that Local Government Act.
Awesome, and that's really important, which leads us into the Māori wards kōrero, because we've got two councillors here from two different councils, and I'd love to get some context, Moko. What happened around the table in the Far North District Council where they didn't actually vote for Māori wards to go ahead? Can you just give us a little bit of history on what took place?
Yeah, kia ora e te tuahine. It was quite hard for me to talk about this before, but I've come around to it, and I know that that other whānau are still working in the space in the far north with dealing with the fact that our council voted not to establish Māori wards. So every 6 years, within every 6 years, a council has to have a representation review, and that's what we're doing in our council. That's what all of our northern councils are doing right now. And within that representation review, you look at how many councillors make up your council, your community boards, the boundaries, and if you want to establish a Māori ward for our district councils or a Māori constituency for our regional council, to give effect to that local government act legislation, what says we want to have Māori engagement in our decision making, because it was Māori who actually signed the Treaty of Waitangi with the Crown. So that would be my little have at people who say that it shouldn't be about race, that there are more than obviously just Māori in this country, but it was Māori who signed the Treaty of Waitangi, which is why that Local Government Act gives effect to Māori as the tangata whenua of our country. At our council table, we had workshops just like our other councils did around this, and to help us as councillors make this decision, because it was up to us as councillors, we could make that decision. The Local Electoral Act also allows people to petition, 5% to petition against the decision that the council makes. My council decided not to and decided instead to vote for taking this to a poll at the 2022 local government elections, which means when we go to those elections on our current timeline, you will vote for your mayor, you'll vote for your councillors, you'll vote for your community board members, you'll vote for your district health board members, and you'll also vote for the Far North District, whether or not you want to establish Māori wards. Unfortunately, even though one of our workshops, Te Kahu o Taonui, our iwi chairs forum, asked us as a council to be bold and to make the decision to vote in Māori wards, that hasn't happened. So with what we've got, well, we're obviously going to be speaking positively towards our other councils who have made this decision to vote yes, and to tell people, no, we don't want to petition against that decision. Go with the decision. It was a bold decision, and there are so many benefits to bringing a mandated Māori voice to the table. But for us here in the Far North, we have the decision here whether or not we want to force a petition. And if I can quickly share a screen now, I'll show you why that could potentially be beneficial for us in the Far North. It is extremely hard, though, because we don't want to muddy the waters where in two of our districts and for our region, we're sending the message, no to a petition, no to a petition. Do we want to be saying, though, in the Far North, maybe a petition is what we want? So I'll show this timeline I threw together, which will help, hopefully help to explain. So I'll just go like this, okay, and I'll jump over there, and let me know if you can't see this ward timeline that I've got up there. So you'll see here that we're here in 2020, and our council has decided not to establish Māori wards. So on our current timeline, this upper timeline, in 2022, we will vote yes or no to establish Māori wards. If it's a yes vote, in 2025, Māori wards will come into play. And currently, based off the Māori electoral population, we will have three Māori ward councillors for the Far North. If it's a no vote, then we're locked in for two election cycles. So for 2025 and 28, we have to keep the status quo. And the earliest time we could bring in Māori wards would be for the 2031 election. The other timeline, the alternative, is if a poll is demanded by 5% of electors, then that will happen next year, and it will be in place for the 2022 election. So a yes vote in 2021 would mean that Māori wards come into play for this election here, 2022. A no vote will mean that we could look at it again in 2028. So so that is our timeline there. The options that are there for us here in the Far North. And I'm still trying to get my head around it, knowing at the same time that Minister Mahuta is also looking at changing the legislation. But right now, it looks like that legislation won't actually come into effect for these current determinations that councils are making. I also happen to be one of the representatives on the Te Maruata Executive for Māori Councillors, and we'll be having a meeting in December And so one of the things I'll be doing and will be doing as a group of Māori councillors for our country is looking at what the potential legislation change will bring about, getting in touch with Minister Mahuta and actually having a real kōrero about how her changes she wants to push through will affect these current representation reviews. And then from there, it will be a call on us in the far north whether or not we did want to demand a poll. So there's still time, and what I'd ask whānau is to taihua. I know that it could be a little bit, you could be a little bit on the run to actually get that underway, seeing how that timeline brings the times closer. But I do want to have that conversation with Minister Mahuta in the first instance to see if that's the best thing we could do, because waiting till 2022 could actually still save us by not getting us locked in. So we'll wait and see how that goes. Yeah?
Sounds like a smart move. And, you know, all we can say to our friends at the Far North District Council that we do hope that you make better decisions and also learn from your colleagues, like Kaupara. So, Karina, tell us what happened in your district council, because you are actually quite opposite and you made a different decision. What was that?
Some kōrero moko, thank you. I suppose for us, the journey for me around Māori Ward started 4 years ago. So when I first got elected in, I went in by all means to represent everyone, but I was automatically tagged with the Māori brush. So it was like, oh, but you're Māori, so you must have a view, right? Yeah, absolutely, I have an opinion, but that's not my role at this table, and I needed to be very clear about that. And within the first 12 months, I think there was a few things that went on in our council that I wasn't proud of, that I thought there was more opportunity to engage with Māori, especially around sales of land and the interest that they would have held over those. So I quickly realised that actually me being Māori and now being aware of all these things, my views changed, and actually we do need Māori at this table, and I'm going to try and find the balance to be able to advocate for Māori, because I was voted in by some Māori, just not as a Māori representative, and but be still considered for those others. So, you know, 4 years ago, I put a tucky on the floor and I said, you know, I'm really keen to understand how this council feels about Māori wards. And at that time, it was quickly shut down. You know, no, we don't need Māori wards. They're biased, they're discriminatory. We don't need that kind of thing here. You're here, you speak for Māori, we'll hear from you. Thank you very much. Move on. So I thought, crikey, it's I've got some work cut out for me to do. So how do I change that? How do I work with them to understand that, you know, Māori do have a place at the table? You know, your table is in our whare or kaupara. Like, seriously, you have two treaty settlements with Te Uriaho and Te Rōroa. Do you not recognise those, you know, legislative responsibilities to your to mana whenua? And I just keep saying things like that, like, you know, we have this MOU with Te Uriaho. What do we do with it? We have nothing with Te Rōroa that's actually of any great value. How do we change that? You know, we're making decisions based on information that's lacking Māori context. So, you know, it was, let's take a look at the framework, even with inside the structure of council. What have we got in there that contributes to Māori kaupapa in a sense that we're getting all the information we need to make the best decisions? So at a very quick glance, there was no one. There was no cultural capability within inside our council walls, and it was it had been like that forever. So, you know, talking with the chief executive at the time, I said, you know how we change this, how we get reports with, you know, quality information for us to make good decisions is to create a space where that cultural capability exists, and then we can start to work on capacity within the structure, within the actual organisation, so you understand the need and the desire for Māori to want to participate. And it was those little changes, you know, we got a fantastic iwi relationships manager come on board, and he's done some phenomenal work really changing and enhancing the culture around kaupapa Māori within the organisation. And what that's done is it's just really complemented my position. So together we get to work together on issues and kaupapa that are really important to Māori. And I'm not a lone voice at the table, although I might be the only councillor there that's, identifying as Māori and very proud of it. I have a colleague on the inside too that actually really helps to complement the work and the kōrero that we take both to those kaupapa through our briefing papers and our decisions and reporting. So it's been an incredible four-year journey. Over the last 12 months, we've had I put the tucky on the table again, Māori wards, let's be brave and have the conversation. How do we do this in 12 months' time? How do we take that out to our community? How do we get information out to people? How do we engage with mana whenua over this? And we developed a strategy and we took that out to our treaty partners and said, here's an opportunity. Are you interested? And they had to go away and think about it, and all credit to them, because they came back and they said, yeah, so we do. So what does that mean? If we tell you we do, are we going to get it? And I said, well, it certainly helps when it comes to the decision making that actually we're supporting a fantastic relationship. And if our treaty partners want this, if mana whenua want to be at the table, why wouldn't we open the door? And, karanga them in, so all of it, 4 years of, gradually chipping away at it, we've landed where we have, and I'm just incredibly proud that our council did take a brave stand. We didn't have anyone oppose it. We did have two abstain. They gave, reasonable answers that they didn't feel that they had the information or the knowledge to actually act on that, so they left it for the ones around the table that felt we did. And we landed with the outcome we did, and I couldn't be more happy. We just, we know we're going to be challenged on it. We are awaiting Hobson's pledge petition because, they haven't been quiet about it, asking us to vote against prior to our decision that day. We received like 120 emails all telling us that we needed to vote no for these reasons. And those reasons weren't good enough. So we've made the first step. We've shown respect to our treaty partners, and I think that's the most important thing moving forward.
That's awesome, and congratulations not only for the hard work that it's taken you to get your colleagues around the table to make that decision, but I think also they were brave and bold by doing something which may have been really, really uncomfortable and quite different, and that they also listened carefully to the wishes of their treaty partners. So well done, kaupara. But also, even though Whanau District Council said no, moko, the Northern Regional Council said yes. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, our region actually showed leadership. They had the meeting, the first meeting for us here in Northland, and they voted to establish a Māori constituency. I think that the local government commission has just released the Māori electoral and general electoral population numbers. So based off of that, Northland region is eligible for two Māori constituent councillors. So they were really bold, and they've decided that at a regional level they want to see Māori constituency councillors at the table to give effect to the Treaty of Waitangi. Our regional council is made up of 9 councillors, the chair is Penny Smart, who represents Kaipara, and what this would see if it goes through, of course, there's always that instance where a petition could come forward and demand a poll on this decision too. And we know that one of those councillors walked over this decision and is actually working in the community to push a no vote for this. to get a petition across and for this to not go ahead. But I really take my hat off to our regional councillors for making this decision to establish Māori constituencies. Because we know that our district is made up at a district level, I think it's 38% Māori. Here in the far north, our Māori population's like 50.5%, so it's a little bit higher. The districts have different ones. I think for Whangārei, based off their Māori population, they'll have two Māori ward councillors out of 14 councillors that they have sitting at the table. I think in Kaipara, and you can correct me, Karina, I think it's one. It's very interesting to see. I take my hat off to Northern Region for leading the charge in this space. And then, of course, Kaipara, then ourselves here in the far north voted no, and then Whangārei voted yes to establish them. If I can say one thing, though, to whānau and to anyone watching this, is that we all have wards, or for the region they're called constituencies, which set up boundaries for who you elect to represent you on your council. Because we see that it's better to have a representative to represent a segregated section of your district or of our region. And we see the benefit in that, because we know that for me, I can be a champion for Kaikoe Hokianga. But when I actually swore my oath for the Far North District, I swore my oath to represent the district as a whole, but we see the benefit that I can bring by representing the people of Kaikoe Hokianga at the table. This is exactly the same thing for us wanting Māori ward councillors or Māori Māori constituent councillors at the tables for our district and our region here in the north. It's because we see the benefit that a Māori worldview will bring in representing that worldview that Karina has talked about bringing to her council table, that I've brought to my council table, and sometimes I scratch my head thinking, who thought of this before I made it here? And it's actually unfair. I have taken on the Te Ao Māori portfolio for our council, but it's actually, I can bring that there, but it's not a guarantee every time. It's the luck of the draw, it's the luck of the vote. And I don't think that our tupuna signed the Treaty of Waitangi for it to be the luck of the draw, whether or not they guaranteed that their uri would have a say in the governance of our country. So what I'd say to whānau is to keep informed over this, to keep an eye out. I know that former Mayor of New Plymouth, Andrew Judd, is going to be coming to the north to share some kōrero around why he sees benefits in Māori wards. So stay in the know and keep pushing this kōrero and the benefits that it brings. And if you're still on the fence, to touch base with the likes of myself, with Karina, or with those in our iwi who asked for this to happen, to have that really informed conclusion as to why, obviously, Kaipara district councillors, Whangārei district councillors, and Northern regional councillors, and half of Far North district councillors all saw a real benefit in why we should establish these for our region. So you've elected these people to represent you, and they've made a decision. So honour that decision. Stay in the know, and kia kaha tātou ne.
Kia ora. Hey, look, thank you, Karina, porua, ko moko, for your insights and your whakaaro. You know, I can't help but agree that there is only benefit from sitting around a table and having a good yarn about significant decisions that are going to impact every single citizen within your jurisdiction, within your region, within your community. And those types of governance arrangements are only enhanced by having Māori worldview sitting around the table. So to both of you, I know that this is not an easy role, a light role, but you're both doing such an excellent job advocating for the benefit of our whānau hapū iwi, but also you have other constituents that you represent. And so your heart is for your people, but you have also been elected to represent your communities also. So congratulations to you both. I look forward to speaking to you again as this issue unfolds. One last kōrero from you both. Karina, what action do you think farmers should take in regards to understanding the benefits of our local government?
If you've got things on your mind, then you need to ask the question. Go to the right source to ask the question, and you might get the right answer. I know that there's whānau out there that are really puzzled about this Māori ward and what it's all about. You know, pick up the phone, ring me, Facebook me, email me. I'm happy to tell you from my experience what a Māori ward and the change will really do for us as a community moving forward, as a district. I think, it's a great place to start. It's 2020 for crying out loud, you know. Be brave, be courageous, ask the questions. Don't be shy, come forward.
Awesome. Kia ora. Thank you, Karina. That's wonderful. And then final word to you, Moko. Iaha or whakaaro, what kind of call to action do you have for whānau?
Yeah, for whānau, I'd say to actually reach out to your councillors, whether they are for your regional constituency or for your district, to reach out to them and to be involved in local government, and specifically so for this Māori wards conversation. Throw your support behind it. And if you're not in support of it, then I do actually challenge you to be fully informed, to read the Human Rights Commission's paper that was released over this, to read the Royal Commission into the Governance of Auckland, which actually spoke in support of establishing this, to look at the United Nations declarations on the rights of Indigenous peoples, because all of this academic foundation kōrero is all in support of this. In Northland and Whangarei and Kaipara, councillors have made the brave decision to establish Māori wards or the constituency for the region. Throw your support behind that. Here in the far north, councillors voted to hear what the entire voter base of the far north decided. So that's what's going to happen, and we're going to respect that that's what's happened for our council. But what people do get to decide is whether it happens in 2022 or 2021, and we'll keep posted about what the best call is in that space. Kia ora.
Kia ora, awesome. Hey, thank you both so much for joining us on Whiti Whiti, short, sharp, ingenious kōrero with Indigenous people that come from Te Kai Tokerau, Te Heku, and amazing people from around the world also. So whānau, tune in next Thursday at 7 o'clock. We'll have some more special guests to you both, Councillor Karina, and also yourself, Moko Tipania, Māori ora kia kōrua. And thank you, whānau, for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing you next week as well. Ko Māori e.
Ko Māori e. Māori ora.
Awesome team. I think we...